It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Hello there, and it's the analyst inside cricket, Simon Mann and Simon Hughes here. Simon, you've been here all day watching a bit of a revival from England. I've had a slightly alternative day, actually. I was at the Hay Literary Festival yesterday, interviewing none other than Henry Blofeld and then Mike Brearley. Talk about a double act. One guy who doesn't need any interviewing at all. Henry, just off he goes, off his long run, and that's it. And I barely got a word in edgeways. And then a much more sort of intense and slightly more...
A bit more cerebral.
A slightly more cerebral experience interviewing Mike Brearley about captaincy and On Form, which is his new book. And England were on form a bit today. I was listening to a lot of the morning session on the radio, actually, driving up from Hay. It's an amazing place, Hay Festival. It's got this sort of all these tents. It's like a mini Glastonbury in the middle of the countryside, but for literary people rather than rock stars and rock fans. Anyway, I drove up and listened to your dulcet tones on the way up, and England obviously had an excellent morning and afternoon session, and actually have finished it off pretty well. 106 for two. After bowling Pakistan out for 174, they couldn't have hoped for any better, really.
Well, it's like the Lord's Test all over again, except that it's a different team that are in control of the game. Pakistan rolled England out for 180-plus at Lord's and then batted with enough discipline to get themselves into a winning position. England haven't quite done that yet, but they did bat with enough discipline to resist the Pakistan new ball bowlers. A really soft dismissal of Alistair Cook just before the close. I mean, one of those dismissals where you go back to the change room, you just say, ah, you had like an act of that. It was all loopy bouncer down
strangled
the leg side. Horrible, horrible way to get out. Just given Pakistan a slight opening into the game. But I mean, from here, I mean, you feel as if the game is, you know, the course of the game is set. You know, England do exactly to Pakistan what Pakistan did to England at Lord's.
Yeah, and there has been a different mindset, hasn't there, about the way they've played. I mean, there was a lot of fairly vehement criticism about England's performance at Lord's, and most of it was justified. And
I think, most of it? What about all of it?
Well, maybe all of it. But I think that it's about mindset as much as it is about technique. And you look at what England did today, they obviously came out with a plan to bowl Fuller, firstly. And secondly, they came out with a plan when they batted to sell their wickets more dearly and be a little bit more circumspect in the first hour and a half or so, not go for wild drives, play the ball a little bit later under their nose. I was very impressed, actually, with the way that all the batsmen, even Alistair Cook, who loves his routine, batted out of their crease to Mohammed Abbas and actually got down the pitch and put him off, and he was completely ineffective today. So it was a mindset change by England as much as it was a technical change. One or two different personnel, Keaton Jennings coming in for the strokeless Mark Stoneman, and it's been a great day for England.
Yeah, they're in control of the match. I mean, even you talk about the sort of game being sort of the mirror opposite, is it the mirror image or the mirror opposite of the one we had at Lord's? Imam Al-Haq out early on with a horrible drive outside the off stump, you know, a bit like Joe Root was, you know, dismissal at Lords. That sort of set the tone for Pakistan. 0-1 in the second over. The ball did enough. I mean, it really did. I just wondered about the toss. I mean, you were driving up from your literary festival.
Yeah.
At the toss, I was a bit surprised when Pakistan decided to bowl. It was one of those. I mean, it was a bit like Lords. It was sort of tantalising, really. I mean, and that, in a way, we said it after the first day at Lords, it's great when you get to the toss, when you think you're not quite sure as a captain what you should do. In a way, that's the perfect toss. In other words, the groundsman, the conditions, everything is, you know, it's set up for a toss that creates indecision. I think that's almost perfect way to start a cricket match. And that's what it felt like this morning. It had been, you know, overcast, and it brightened up a bit, but it's Headingley, it was muggy. It actually felt like quite a good bowling morning. I think when England were in the field, would they have been that disappointed? I'm not sure they would have been.
No, and that what you want is that slightly heavy sort of feeling in the clouds. It doesn't necessarily matter whether it's humid or not, actually, as I've tried to prove before. It's all about sunshine or clouds blocking out the light and therefore stopping the radiation and the heat rising. But in a way, even if it is clammy, the bowlers just have that bit more optimism about the situation. Yeah. And I think you run in with a bit more purpose and a bit more expectation of taking wickets. The ball, you try and really work at it to keep it in pristine condition. England, it's a bit of a mixed bag, I think, bowling-wise. Broad clearly tried to pitch the ball up much fuller, and he got the rewards. Anderson, I think, just struggles to pitch the ball up, and some bowlers do. When he first started as a test bowler, you know, 2003, 2004, he pitched it up and he tried to bowl these big booming swingers. Some of them were half volleys, some of them went for four, some of them got wickets. And it was really exciting, but in a way it was quite expensive, or it could be. He's changed over the years and now he bowls a much more conservative length generally. He's still got the wonderful fingertip control, swinging the ball both ways, but he generally doesn't like to pitch the ball too full for fear of being driven or clipped through mid-wicket. And actually, for certain bowlers, it's quite hard adjusting your natural length. And it might sound odd, this. I mean, people think that the bouncer is the effort ball. For some bowlers, actually, the full ball is the effort ball because you've actually got to get it up there a bit further without bouncing. And that requires a different body position. And, you know, that's a mindset thing as well. But it's about getting all your muscles and your rhythm and your timing just slightly different. But you don't want to be bowling full tosses. It's only a tiny adjustment. But actually, it does make you feel different as a bowler. And sometimes, certain bowlers, when they try and pitch it up, they float it. Stephen Finn is one. Angus Fraser used to be one, actually. And we used to wind him up about it. Go, come on, you know, but stop bowling those loopy half volleys and things. And he'd get very grumpy and go back to his normal length. And Anderson is a bit like that as well. I think when he tries to bowl full nowadays, because he's so set in that sort of certain length that he bowls, it can float out. And he just has difficulty adjusting. And that's why I think he was ineffective in the morning session. He then ended up bowling too wide, didn't he? And I think none of his balls in that first spell would have hit the wicket.
Yeah.
And I think, actually, in those really swingy conditions, bowl at the stumps. And it doesn't matter if you get clipped for the odd four. Maybe set a field with mid on square leg, mid wicket, you know, for the one that's on the leg stump. And just make them play. And they're going to get edges. They're going to get leading edges. They might get the odd four, but it doesn't matter because they'll probably get wickets with it.
Yeah, Anderson didn't take a wicket in the morning session. And Broad clearly out-bowled him. Actually, the first wicket he did get was a ball that was pitched up. And Sarfraz tried to clip him through mid-wicket and bowled off his pads.
Yeah.
So he was able to...
And then he got an LBW, didn't he, with a beautiful swinging delivery into the left-hander. So it's just, you've got to attack the stumps in situations like this. The master of bowling in these conditions was, for Yorkshire fans, Arnie Sidebottom, who just ran in from the bottom end, the football stand end, and he just kept plugging away and trying to hit the stumps. He had that screeching sort of LBW appeal, which was bad enough to make you want to walk off, even if you weren't given out. And he just, you know, he just hit the pads and he hit the top of the off stump, and that's what you've got to aim for. Broad did it very well. Anderson didn't so well.
Having said that, look at their figures. They're almost identical. Anderson, 15 over six maidens, 3 for 43. Broad, 15 over six maidens, 3 for 38. So they have a way, don't they? I mean, you know, Anderson has his way and Broad has his way, which was a slightly different way today. I mean, Anderson gets quite grumpy about this, though, doesn't he? When people say, oh, you've got to pitch it up more, you've got to pitch it up more. He basically says, well, hold on a second. Just go and have a look at my figures, my test. I'm about to become, I'm, you know, on the verge of becoming the most successful seam bowler in the history of Test match cricket. You know, in a way, the stats are a bit of a two fingers to people who criticise
them. You can't, as we know with Ian Botham, who used to come out with that, you know, how many wickets have you got? I got 383 kind of thing. You haven't got a comeback to Anderson at all. He is supreme as the fast bowler who will overtake Glenn McGrath eventually, supreme for his control and actually his longevity and his stamina, which is just incredible.
Yeah, well, exactly. People say, oh, well, you know, he's bowled more than anybody else. You know, he's bound to get lots of wickets. Well, no, I mean, staying on the park is a feat in itself. And I mean, look at Alistair Cook, actually. 154 matches in a row, more than anyone else in the history of Test match cricket. And people say, oh, he just, you know, grinds it out match after match. But, I mean, the actual physical effort of being on the field for 154 games.
And the
remarkable
mental effort as well. Mental effort, you know, the devotion to the crease and devotion to your profession and to your team and still being willing to turn up and practice. I've been watching him in practice and he's still totally dedicated. I mean, someone will work out how many hours he's been on the field in his life. It's just, I don't know, it's total abstinence. He practices. And he should be a Tibetan monk or something, really, shouldn't he?
What about the makeup of England's team for this Test match? You know, in a way, it might not matter. They feel as if they're in control of the game. If they bat reasonably well on the second day or bat very well, they'll be in complete control of the match. They'll have a decent first innings lead, and then the pressure will be on Pakistan, like it was on England in the third innings of Lords. What about the makeup of the team? We mentioned, you know, the big two, Anderson and Broad, 6 for 81 from their 30 overs. Tom Curran with
Sam Curran.
Yeah, Sam Curran, and that's actually quite an interesting mistake because when I saw
Freudian
initially
slip.
Curran called up for the Test match, I just assumed it was going to be Tom. I didn't even think Sam Curran at all, and then you had to look a bit close at the press release. Oh, Sam Curran has been called up, 19 years of age, who did take 10 wickets in a match against Yorkshire. But anyway,
and he clean bowled Joe Root in that game, which is always a good thing to do.
Yeah, get rid of
the England captain just a couple of weeks before the Test series.
But the other two, Wokes, who's not had a great deal of red ball bowling this year, very little in fact, hasn't taken a red ball wicket this year until it took three today. So hasn't had a huge amount of first class bowling. And Curran, between them, 18.1 overs, one maiden, 4 for 88. So a big difference between the two, as you'd expect. They're two class bowlers against two bowlers who are.
Well, Chris Wokes is a damn good bowler. I don't think that Sam Curran's a test bowler. I mean, I know he's only 19, he'll be 20 on Sunday, but I don't think he'll get a lot of wickets in Test cricket. He might get a bit quicker. He needs to. But I just don't think he'll be penetrative enough to take wickets in Test cricket because he's only short and he doesn't actually really use his body very much. He's a bit of an arm bowler. And I know he swings the ball, but unless he swings it quite late, he's going to be innocuous on Test pitches. You know, he's a handy cricketer. He's obviously quite aggressive. He's got a lot of confidence. That's good to see. But I just don't think he's going to trouble batsmen too much. The only
It's a big call to make about a bowler who's only 19 years of age.
I know, but I think that where he might be effective is on the subcontinent because he'll be able to swing it and reverse swing it on dry pitches. And because he hasn't got a lot of height and he's just got a sort of skiddy pace, he might be quite effective at LBWs and bowls in somewhere like Sri Lanka. I can't see him being that effective in England, actually, because I just don't think he's got either the height or quite the pace. If he develops the pace, yeah, maybe.
Well, one of my hunches about Sam Curran is only a hunch, that he might actually turn into an excellent batsman, that his batting might go past his bowling. So he actually turns into a batting all-rounder rather than a bowling all-rounder. I think they have big hopes for him at Surrey that his batting will improve. He's been a bit flaky this season. We actually saw him play once at the Oval, didn't we? And he's playing too many shots too early. I think in the end he was caught at mid-off off Liam Dawson. He played one big shot too many. But they pushed him up the order. They're batting him at 7 this season. That they want to give him that opportunity to show to improve, basically. Mm. But he is only 19, 20 during this Test match. I mean, I think that his problem, in a way, is that he's been around for 2 or 3 years now. That everyone's expecting a lot of him, but he's not even 20 yet, which is for an England cricketer, that's remarkably young, isn't it? I mean, other countries are blooded cricketers or tend to blood cricketers at a younger age. For an England cricketer, that's extremely young.
Well, I think he's the seventh youngest cricketer to play for England. Yeah, obviously, it's a great opportunity. I don't think he's going to get a lot quicker, actually, because he's not someone who's going to suddenly grow another 4 inches or get suddenly fill out particularly. He's quite a slim frame, and you can probably add a couple of miles an hour, but I don't think substantially much. But, yeah, obviously, if he becomes a very good batsman, then having that left arm variety and being able to swing the ball is invaluable. But I don't think he'll be able to rely on his bowling alone in Test cricket. But I do think he'll be a very, very good cricketer.
Yeah. He's made 10 half centuries already before the age of 20. I mean, anyway, we'll have a look at his batting, monitor his batting, and see where it is in 2 or 3 years' time. It might well be that the batting outstrips the bowling. I mean, yes, I mean, the most famous example of that happening, I suppose, is someone like Kevin Peterson, who was essentially an off spinner who batted and then turned into a tremendous world class batsman who barely bowled. I suppose, you know, in a sense, that might be a different type of cricketer, obviously, but in a sense, that might be the goal for Curran in the future. What about, I mean, Curran coming in, though, and Wood out of the side. Yeah. Curran's come in from nowhere, and Wood, he's thinking, well, I played the last Test match, and I've been jettisoned. I mean, you know, in a sense, it's Wokes for Stokes, and suddenly Curran for Wood.
Yeah, which it's a bit harsh on Mark Wood, and I wouldn't have liked to have been the person who had to go and explain that to him, because it doesn't really make a lot of sense. He bowled well at Lords and didn't have much luck, and I'm sure what he's desperate to do is have a run of games. Yeah. It must be quite...
Well, he gets two games. The batsmen get about, you know, half a dozen, 10, well, 11,
and
13.
And there's no Test match till August the 3rd or 2nd or something. So he's got a long wait to play again. And there's a lot of one-day cricket in the middle. So I do feel a bit sorry for him. And I thought England could do with that extra sort of thrust on this pitch. If it gets a bit dry, he'll reverse swing it. So he is obviously an asset, but I suppose the left arm advantage, and of course there is the other thing, if you're playing an off spinner, he does like the footholds of a left arm over bowler to bowl into. So often you get left arm over bowler working in tandem with an off spinner. That's maybe a little bit of England's thinking as well. And I don't know, I mean, who would have guessed, say a week or two ago, that England's middle order was going to be Bairstow, Butler at 6, Wokes at 7, and Sam Curran at 8, or Dominic Best at 8. And that, you'd have won a lot of money if you managed to predict that.
Yeah, well, that's the nature of you know, that's what happens when teams are struggling, isn't it? Things are rejigged, and you try and find the right formula. It's actually symptomatic of where England are as a Test match team, with the selectors,
bit of a tombola, isn't it?
Desperately searching around for the right sort of structure to the side. 8 matches without a win. If they don't win here, something will have gone seriously wrong. I mean, they're very much in control of this game. What could go wrong for them here? Is that a very pessimistic question to ask?
I can't see a collapse, actually, because I don't think the Pakistani bowlers looked as dangerous here. They weren't getting that sideways movement which they got at Lords. They haven't got the slope to work with either. There isn't an awful lot of, you know, real bounce, except a little bit from the Kurzweil lane, and when they kiss the surface and it kind of goes through, but otherwise they don't look as dangerous, and England just looks set to make a big score. I think the players, the batsmen, have all realised they've got to adapt their game a bit, and they've done it very effectively so far. Keaton Jennings played okay. He got through the early bit. He started to play some nice drives. I thought he looked a little bit front foot happy, and therefore the idea of bowling a shorter ball at him, which he planted his front foot to play and then had to try and sort of resist with his weight going forwards and got an edge through to the keeper, I thought that just exposed a slight flaw there. He's not as nimble on his feet as he should be as an opening batsman. But it was a decent start, and it was better than poor old Mark Stoneman's managed. And he's set the platform now for England to get 350, 400.
Yeah. And if they get 350, 400, then it's
game over.
Yeah, well, because that you feel it's always going to be just enough in the pitch.
And Pakistan have got Sarfraz at 6, who looks in shocking nick. So a huge amount of pressure on the top 5 for Pakistan. England should win this game by an innings, really.
Yeah, well, they've got an excellent chance of wrapping it up by a decent margin, and inside the distance as well. At the moment, well, Pakistan have got to do something about this. At the moment, it feels like a 3-day Test match if the weather stays fair for the next couple of days. So the ball is in Pakistan's court now if they're to try and wrestle this game away from England after playing so well at Lords. I don't know, perhaps, you know, Lords was, everything went into that, and you know, it was just the perfect display, and sometimes it's just hard to reproduce it next time round. And England were very determined as well. You just sent some Root at the toss this morning, and talking to us on Test Match Special, Root was, you know, really up for it. He realised that, you know, he needed to almost, you know, lead from the front, do something. He was actually, he took the first catch of the day. And England's catching was a bit better today. One went down, but first, second, and third step all caught one today.
Yeah, so, and England's attitude today just betrayed a slight complacency in the first test, I think, and why it needs a humbling defeat to sting them into action, I don't know, but they were stung into action. They played excellently, and we'll report on their progress tomorrow at the end of the play. Speak to you then.
Goodbye for now.
Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.